One of my favorite books in Scripture is the book of Isaiah. I love it because it is so beautifully written. Such an amazing book of prophecy that so clearly speaks of Jesus' birth and death and reign 7 centuries before he was even born. Jesus quoted it about himself. It is quoted by others about him. And we're going to have a brief foray into the book of Isaiah again this morning. As we begin, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Help us to live by and in your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. When Steve Brown's daughter, Jennifer, was a little girl, she asked him, "Daddy, you're always talking about God, but he never talks to me. How do you hear God?" And Brown puts it this way with a rare burst of insight. "I said to her, honey, do you know the new girl in your class and how you told me she looks so sad because she didn't have any friends?" Jennifer nodded. "Well, who told you that she was so sad? And who told you to be her friend?" "Oh," Jennifer said. "So that's him." You know, sometimes we can make talking with God and listening so difficult, so out of reach, and it was never intended to be that way. Go way back to Eden as God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. They didn't have to go through a series of steps or follow a set of rules. They were just with him. And when sin separated us from God, Jesus came to restore our relationship with him. No one talked about relationship with God like Jesus. Jesus refers to God as Father more than anyone in the entire Scripture. 15 times he's mentioned as Father in the Old Testament. But when you get to Jesus, it's 65 times referring to God as Father. We can know him as Father and friend, and Jesus promised that if we love him and obey him, the Father will come to us and make his home with us. And he wasn't referring to some distant point in time. You and I are meant to be at home with God every day. And it is this relationship that the Spirit of God is pointing to through the prophet Isaiah when he writes, "For the Lord is God, and he created the heavens and earth and put everything in its place. He made the world to be lived in, not to be a place of empty chaos. I am the Lord," he says, "and there is no other." And by the way, that phrase, empty chaos, also occurs in the very beginning in Genesis. It refers to the way the earth was before, you know, how things were before the earth was created. "I am the Lord," he says, "and there is no other. I publicly proclaim bold promises. I do not whisper obscurities in some dark corner. I would not have told the people of Israel to seek me if I could not be found. I, the Lord, speak only what is true and declare only what is right." When you and I get to the end of our lives and stand before God, what matters most will not be, "What did you do for a living?" What matters most won't be so many of the things that seem so important to us now. It won't even be, "How much did you give to charity?" The way Jesus tells it, What matters most will simply be, do you know me? Do you know him? Are you living in a relationship with him? Some might say, well, I've received him, he saved me, I have all of eternity to get to know God. But that's not what God intends for us. Notice what the Spirit is saying in verse 19. I publicly proclaim bold promises. I do not whisper obscurities in some dark corner. I would not have told the people of Israel to seek me if I could not be found. I, the Lord, speak only what is true and declare only what is right. When Jesus teaches on prayer in a very relational way, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, when Luke translates this, or when Luke shares this teaching, he says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Of course, the Holy Spirit is his greatest gift. But what we see here is this relationship. It's not just wishful thinking. It's not just self-persuasion. It's this thing that you and I are to live into. And the question is, how is that working out for us? For each of us, myself included, this morning. How is that going for you personally? Are you living in that place where you are assured? Yeah. There's a relationship there. There's something there. Got some work to do. but there's something there. Isaiah speaks of promises that you and I can know. Bold promises. And I'm so glad we're looking at the Word of God with our kids because, oh, He speaks there. And what better gift can we give them to take as they move forward into life? Because life is hard, but it is so much harder without God. And the beautiful thing is that you and I can meet Him in His Word and keep company with Him. And He will instill in us both an increasing awareness of His presence and a hunger for it. Because it is God who makes this relationship possible. And while our relationship takes commitment, it is not we who hold it up. It is this simple thing of rest and trust. Oh, how we need to lean into Him as we go through the day, to lean into His peace, to lean into His promises. Sheila Walsh, in our study in the middle of the mess, pointed out that sometimes all we can do is simply pray, Jesus, Jesus, have you been there? Sometimes we get prayed out. Sometimes we don't know what to say. Sometimes the situations of our lives are so exhausting and beyond our figuring out. And all we can say is, Jesus, Jesus. You know, the other day I was troubled in my spirit about someone that I love dearly, and I was praying for that person to know him, to grow, to have that genuine relationship with him. And the next morning I received an email from a believing friend who's also praying faithfully for this one who is so dear to me. And that morning, as I was reading in Scripture, I came across these words from David in Psalm 69. Answer my prayers, O Lord, for your unfailing love is wonderful. Take care of me, for your mercy is so plentiful. And the timing of that was just perfect. And I took those words and I wrote them on my daily calendar to pray as I went through the day, to memorize, to take to heart. Because what was impressed upon me was that my praying and my praying the Word of God mattered. And as I've continued along that road, God has continued to show me new ways that I need to pray. That was one of my questions. Lord, how do I pray? How do you want me to pray for this one that I love so much? Abraham Lincoln said that I've often been drawn to my knees by the conviction that I had no other place to go. And isn't that true? But oh, isn't it also true that you and I so often make prayer that last resort? When God would have us, God with his wondering eye that looks upon us, God who works wonders, and we have seen them, looks upon our situation and would move. As we come to him, we can seek him because he can be found even now. But oh, again, we make this hard, don't we? It's our natural tendency. We think, oh, if I just get this right. But that's not what you and I are called to. You and I are called to lean into him again, to rest in him in love. True faith isn't this frenzy we whip ourselves into. It's simple. It's unpressed. Like the leaning of a child into a parent who carries them. That's what can happen for you and me. The more we again lean into him, the more we sense that we are carried. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you, if you haven't received him, to receive him. To simply be with him if you have received him. If you haven't received him, or if you have, if there is a sin that is grieving our relationship with him, that is what so often causes distance between us, isn't it? I mean, so often, you know, if you haven't received him, oh, to know that it is through his cross that there is a way made for us. That the sin can be laid down and genuinely left behind. Those things that keep us awake at night, those things we look back on from past years and shake our heads at, those shadows in our souls that we see even now. We can lay it all down. And even now, as you have come to him and you recognize, oh, I'm in this battle with my old sin nature. It is this thing that I cannot get past. You and I can come to him afresh and say, Lord, I don't want anything between us. I want to sense your presence. I want to be all yours. Because the truth is of Scripture, we were created for Him, right? We weren't created for chaos. Left to our own, look at what happens to the human race. Just look at the past century we've been in, where knowledge increased exponentially and the potential for destruction along with it. Because unless our hearts are right, where are we? But all the softening and moving of the Spirit within that lifts us, that draws us near. The beautiful thing is that though you and I go through seasons of difficulty, seasons also of grief and pain, where we may not sense God's presence, keep leaning, and you'll find that He's faithful. Believe that He is near, that you can know Him. Believe that He is closer than you think. And He will help you. Peter Marshall told an illustration about this years ago of a man who was trying to get to God. It seemed there was this thick glass between them, and he could barely make God out through the glass, but he kept pounding on it with all his strength, trying to get God's attention, until a voice just behind him or right beside him said, "Why are you trying so hard? There's nothing in between us." You see, that's who Jesus is. Jesus came so that you and I can have nothing in between God and us. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And He would not tell us to seek Him if He could not be found. He has promised us this. We have seen it. And as we conclude our time together this morning, I thought that we would simply again lean in a little more and rest in a few of God's promises to us and take them to heart before we close in prayer. So here they are, just a few. Just a few. "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not... Excuse me, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me because I live. You also will live." The Lord is near to all who call on Him. To all who call on Him in truth. I'm going to ask you to help me read the rest of these. Go ahead. Do you see the promise of His presence there? Sometimes it's good when he shuts the preacher up, because he is with us, and he is all we need. May we pray. Lord, you are our good shepherd. You lead us beside still waters. You restore our souls. Oh, to know you, and to know that we know you. Holy Spirit, help us in this. If there's anyone this morning, as we've thought about these things, if you've said in your own heart and mind, you know, I'm not sure. He just feels so far away. I would ask, have you received him? Have you placed your faith and trust in what he did for us at the cross? You don't have to have all the questions answered. None of us do. But oh, think again of what he has promised to be with you, to make his home with us. Oh, will you tell him, yes, Lord, I want that. I want to know you. I don't want any sin in between. Forgive me. I believe you came. You went to the cross. Oh, Lord. Clean me up. And come into my heart and life. Or maybe you've been away for a while and you know it. You've received him, but you've been distant, and you know it. Would you tell him, yes, Lord? Oh, I want to walk with you. I want to lean into you. I need you. I need you. You know, the beautiful thing Jesus said is that what he calls us to isn't heavy. It's light. Because he sets us free. He sets us free and he carries us. Would you tell him even now, Lord? Yes. And maybe it's for some other reason. You know, so many distractions in life. And grief or pain can make us feel distant. But Lord, we affirm that you are faithful. We affirm the promise of your word, that you are with us. And because you are, we affirm that there is nothing better and that this season will pass. We just want to be with you. Lord, we're yours. And we praise you that we're yours because you have called us to yourself. We love you, our beautiful Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Yeah.